Greetings from the island of Catalina. Today we want to intensify, to quicken, and to escalate. You have been doing some fine work this past month, looking at the world, seeing sense images, learning that they are internal, that you are not to change sense images, but rather to see that they have no power. And you have been making the effort to live in your never-born self. Now, all of that is preparation. And if you have been faithful in your work, even if you did not succeed, you are prepared today for the next step. We want to look now at certain statements made by John, Paul, and Jesus, all of which have been misinterpreted through the years, and because of this misinterpretation, we, even though we know the true meanings, find ourselves unconsciously accepting the false interpretations of the world and being swayed, so that unconsciously we drift into that self which is born of woman. Now listen carefully first to the statement made by Jesus in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now just think of that statement a moment. God gave his only begotten Son. And the world has falsely misinterpreted who that only begotten Son is. And yet through the conscious awareness of who the Son is, the rest of the sentence follows. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if you know who the begotten Son is, the only begotten, and if you believe on the only begotten Son, you are here told by Jesus that you will not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And so the world, perishing daily, knowing nothing about everlasting life, has misinterpreted the identity of the only begotten Son. You and I must consciously make that correction. Now let's look at a statement made by Paul. This is in Romans 5, verses 6 to 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, of course, you know the traditional interpretation put on that statement. And so we have a world believing that because we were sinners, Jesus died for us. You can take that straight and literal. And therefore, we have a sense of guilt now, according to traditional religion, in that Jesus had to die for the sinners. Of course, it does say Christ died for us. And we may find that either Paul was misquoted, or Paul was making a statement that we have to, in some way, see in a clearer light, because we know that Christ never died. Now let's look at another statement by Paul. Now let's take one by John, in fact three by John, but we'll go to the epistles. We'll go to 1 John, the 4th chapter. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that Son, that God, sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Now here we don't have Christ dying for us, but rather we have God sending His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And so, from traditional religion's point of view, God sent Jesus into the world, and if we in some way can find the capacity in us to believe in the mission, the fulfillment, and the personality of Jesus, we can live through Him. But if you do not believe in Jesus according to traditional religion, you cannot live at all, because you can only live through Jesus, the only begotten Son. So we now have come to a place in our unconscious thought where Jesus becomes the only begotten Son of God. And this is where religion is now today. Worshipping the only begotten Son, Jesus. That is a misinterpretation of the words of John. Now, in 4:15 of the same epistle, we find the following. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Now that takes in a lot of territory, because if you don't happen to be a Christian, you certainly aren't going to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And so every other religion on earth, if we take this statement the way the world has taken it, can never dwell in God, because it doesn't confess on Jesus as the Son of God. That means the Jew, the Mohammedan, the Hindu, the Buddhist, and many of the more than 100 religions in the world are all automatically not dwelling in God according to the Christian interpretation of this phrase by John in the first epistle. And finally, in 5:1, John tells us, and that is still the first epistle, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, it's not as easy to make a mistake in interpreting this as it was before, because now we can all say, yes, yes, Jesus is the Christ. And it says, whoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. And we take that to mean, traditionally, that because God begat Jesus, we must love Jesus who was begat by the Father. Jesus is the Christ, born of God. Now, when you believe that Jesus is the Christ, and you say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, have you really caught the message that was given in these five verses by Jesus, Paul, and John? The world says, yes, Jesus is the Christ. But there's a word in there which has been overlooked. Whosoever believeth. Belief does not mean the words you say with your tongue. When you say Jesus is the Christ, you don't believe that unless you know the meaning of the word belief. What a person does is what a person believes, not what a person says. The works that are done by Jesus indicate the beliefs of Jesus. By their deeds ye shall know what they believe. And that word belief now is going to mean this for us. If you believe what Christ believes, then you believe in Christ. If you do not believe what Christ believes, you do not believe in Christ. It is necessary to turn away from every belief that you entertain, which Christ does not believe in. Because if Christ believes only in the Christ body, and not in the mortal body, you cannot believe in the mortal body and say, I believe in Christ. You too must believe in the Christ body in order to be able to say truthfully, I believe in Christ. And therefore, when the world says we believe in Jesus or we believe in Christ, unless the world knows about the Christ body, that belief is empty and without God power. You cannot live in your never-born self unless you live in your never-born body. Your never-born self has a never-born body that never dies. You must learn to live in your never-born body that never dies. And when you learn to live in your never-born body, you will find that you are living in the body that enters into the fifth world. Your infinite Christ body is your entrance into transition. And you must take these five statements by John, Paul, and Jesus and reinterpret them. Bring them back into your living way. Take them out of the universal mind. For they are going to lead you to the experience of living daily in a body that never dies. We're going to look now at the Master's teaching about that body. You'll find it in the book of Matthew. The 26th verse of the 26th chapter. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, he was sitting right there with his disciples. Why didn't he point to his body and say, "This is my body"? Why did he take bread and say, "This is my body"? If you wanted to tell someone about your body, wouldn't you just point to it and say, "This is it"? Why would you take bread? Why did he? Was he talking about a different body than the one they were looking at with their eyes? When he distributed that bread to each, was he distributing his physical body? And so we find that in breaking bread, he was teaching his students and the world about an invisible body, a body they could not see, and so he had to use the symbolism of bread to teach him about this invisible body. And he said, "Here's yours, here's yours, here's yours." He broke the bread up and he said to them, "This is my body." He was teaching each one that each one is the same invisible body. He was teaching each one that they are all made of the same one substance. And then the cup with the fruit of the vine, which he called my blood. And he was previewing for you and for me the mystical marriage in which your infinite body becomes the bride of the Christ mind. When your infinite body marries God, in you Christ is born. Your never born self is born in the infinite body, mated with the mind of God. God's mind, your infinite body, become one, and out of that is born your consciousness that I am the Christ of God. And so you must find your infinite body. With it, you walk here and now in the kingdom of God. Without it, you walk as an individual human being, mortal, dying. The secret of breaking bread is to reveal the infinite body which you must live in consciously. We have all been seeking the power of God. The power of God can only function in the body of God. Until you are living in the infinite body, you are outside the jurisdiction of God. All God power functions in your infinite body. Every quality of God functions in your infinite body. Your infinite body is not made of atoms. Your infinite body is not in time. Your infinite body is not in space. Your infinite body is the only body you have. If we revere the Word of God, we must look at the Last Supper, at the breaking of bread, and see within it the revelation that your infinite body is the body of Christ. When religion says we believe that Jesus is the Christ, that is an empty belief without power. Until you are living in the infinite body of Christ, you do not believe in Christ. If you believe on me, follow me. If you believe on me, the works that I do, ye shall do. To believe in Christ and to live in the Christ body are one and the same. Yes, religion has missed the boat. We have spent thousands of years saying, I believe, with words that are like straw in the wind. Your never-born self has the never-born Christ body. It is your body now. And the importance of the lesson today is that you can learn to live in this body. And more importantly, you must learn. For every promise in the Bible is to he who lives in the infinite body of Christ. All the unfulfilled promises are because the individual who does not live in the infinite body of Christ is not living in reality. Right now then, we quietly, silently close our eyes and rest in the knowledge that there is an infinite body of Christ. And as we sit at the Master's feet, we receive from the visible manifestation of Christ called Jesus the awareness symbolized by the piece of bread that we are not separated individual persons living in separated physical bodies. We are the one bread. We are the one spiritual bread, the one divine bread, the one divine substance. We are the light. We are not divided. We are not physical. We are not atoms. We are literally the infinite body of God, now and forever. And we do not have two bodies. We are not the infinite body of God and this physical form. We are taking bread. We are believing in Christ. We are abiding in an invisible, infinite body of spirit that was never born and that can never die. This will be our baptism in the spiritual body. As you learn that your body has no place where it begins in space, no place where it begins in time. That throughout the universe now is your invisible body. That your infinite body has no place where it ends in time, no place where it ends in space, and beside your invisible, infinite body, there is no other body in the universe. This is the truth of your being. And if you will live in this truth, believing on it, you will discover the power of God functions your body. It can never know disease. It can never know problems. It can never know death. It is your real body. Right now, beyond the level of your human awareness, but it can be lived in. Look carefully at those words now by the Christ. Take, eat. This is my body. It is your function to go beyond the hypnosis of the senses, which do not see or recognize your infinite body. And the word eat means to know. To eat means to thoroughly digest into consciousness until it becomes living consciousness. Recognize that there is an infinite body now, which is yours. Dwell with this knowledge until it becomes living consciousness. Then you have taken it and you have eaten it. And then you are living in that body, which is forever. Way back in Genesis, we were given a clue. But of course, very few people were aware of such a thing as one infinite divine body. And so we naturally just walked right by. In Genesis 14, the 18th verse, we have Melchizedek, king of Salem. That's before Salem became Jerusalem. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. He brought forth bread and wine. You notice that's identical to what Jesus did at the Last Supper. So Melchizedek is a Christ figure of that era, demonstrating the invisible infinite body, the bread, and the Christ mind, the wine, to Abraham. I think we have more of that in the next chapter. Yes, and after that, after Melchizedek broke bread and wine with Abraham, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. The minute you have stepped into the knowledge of your infinite body, it is as if God was saying to you, I am thy shield and thy reward. You have accepted the divine body, the infinite body. Now find a place in this universe that can in any way harm your infinite body. Find a place where war can disturb you, where disease can enter. Find a place where any form of error can enter your infinite body. There is no such place. And therefore, if in your consciousness there is war or disease or error, what is your answer? You are not accepting your infinite body, which can never know these things. Do you see the potential power when you can stand in the knowledge that I am the infinite body and therefore none of these things can move me? you will discover that day by day, as you stand in the consciousness that you are now in the infinite body, the ills of the world will find no place to penetrate. And you will discover the real meaning of dominion over this world. In the Psalms, we were also told about the infinite body, but we did not know what it was saying to us. In the 110th Psalm, the fourth verse, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. When David realizes that he is in the infinite body, he hears the voice of the Lord saying, thou art a priest forever. In the order of Melchizedek. Later we find Paul saying that Jesus was made a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. But this 110th Psalm existed years before Jesus Christ appeared on earth. And so you see, the knowledge of the infinite body of Christ does not apply only to Jesus. It applied to Abraham, to Melchizedek, to all who had discovered the secret that I am the infinite body of Christ, which is the infinite body of God. If you will take that knowledge with you for this entire month coming and dwell consciously in the knowledge that you are the infinite body, you will discover before the third day is gone that you have found a new level of awareness, a new stability, a new peace, a new power, and a new confidence that you can make transition without dying. Because this is the mystery of all mysteries. You remember in Acts how Paul broke bread before he raised the dead man. And I'm going to reread that to you just for a moment and for a purpose. It's in 27 of Acts. And upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Now you must know then that they were being taught to come together and to know, each to know individually that I am the infinite body of God. And then in the 11th verse, when he therefore was come up again, that's after Paul had healed the dead boy, and had broken bread and eaten, you see, the importance of breaking bread is again emphasized, and eaten, he was conscious that he was the one infinite body of God, and here had come to his attention a dead boy. Now there's no death in the one infinite body of God, and there is no other. Who had died? No one had died. A sense image in mind had died. And Paul had reached such a level of awareness of his one infinite body that he could not accept the death of the boy as a reality, any more than Jesus could accept the death of Lazarus as a reality. Because he had broken bread and had eaten. And that is what you're to do this month. Break bread and eat bread. Know. Live in. Meditate with. Dwell as long and as frequently as you can in the knowledge that I am the one infinite body of God. For that is the meaning of Christ I am. I would like to go now to the book of Corinthians, the first Corinthians, chapter 10. You're going to find it rather difficult to say and to accept that you are the infinite body of God, but it is the secret that the world has passed by, and it has made man weak, miserable, and confused. You have come a long way now. Your work with sense images was really the negative aspect of this. Knowing that all we see are sense images is a negative. If we're seeing sense images, which are not the truth, what is the truth? The truth is that all that is there is the infinite body of God. But where does that leave you? You must identify. You must claim to be the one infinite body of God, because if you're not, who are you? You're just a branch cut off. The life of God is only in the infinite body of God. How can you have divine life in that which is not the body of God? If you are not the infinite body, where is your life? You are without divine life. And having lived in the belief that you are not the infinite body, but rather this finite, temporary shell, this coat of skin, you have denied yourself the very life of God, which lives only in the one infinite body. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 15. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. If today or yesterday you went to work as a human being, not as the Christ body, you were separated. You were not in the one. And if tomorrow you live in this world as a human being, but not as the infinite Christ body, you will again be separated. Not under divine law. Not under divine jurisdiction. You are looking at a world in which all individuals who are not aware that they are the one infinite body are living outside the jurisdiction of God. Your entire demonstration of invincibility and eternal life is based upon the knowledge that you are Christ, the only begotten Son, living in the one infinite body. You will find in the Psalms, the second Psalm, the 7th verse, a very important bit of information that religion has tried to overlook. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Now, Paul would not let this statement go by as the rest of the world had. He had read it in Psalms, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. He knew that it occurred long before Jesus was on earth. He knew that the only begotten Son is the infinite Christ of God, which is the life and substance of every individual on earth. He knew that when David proclaimed that he had heard the voice say, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee," that David was accepting infinite Christ's body. And so he picked that up in Hebrew, in the Hebrew, in the letter to the Hebrews. He pointed out that Jesus, too, had heard the same voice say, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." And you find that in Hebrews 5:5, I think, and 5:6. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. Jesus wasn't saying, "Worship me, I'm not a high priest." Christ glorified not himself, but he that said unto him, "Thou art my son, this today have I begotten thee." Christ Jesus was honoring the one infinite body. He was accepting that he was the infinite body of God. "Thou art my son." The only begotten son is the invisible Christ, which is infinite. And in order for you to be the Son of God, you must be the infinite Christ. And that must be accepted as your infinite Christ body. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Remember that line in Job? You find it in 14:12. I think 14:1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? In these verses, in the early part of the 14th chapter of Job, you're being told that man born of woman is the illusion. He has a short life. He's temporary. He's a creature. And later on we're told that man born of woman must be unrighteous. We're even told later in Matthew that although John is the highest symbol of manhood on the earth in the human race, John the Baptist, whoever is the least in heaven is still greater than John. And really, that's a veiled statement by the Christ telling us that the human body of man, however high it gets in the ladder of success, is a nothing because it's born of woman. It's necessary to come into that infinite body, which is not born of woman, but is born of God. And perhaps that will help you understand another phrase. You'll find it in Luke, in the 23rd chapter, in the 29th verse. Jesus said something very strange that the world could never really understand. Luke 23, verse 29. "For behold, the days are coming, in the whom, in the which, they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck." And in the first epistle of John, the 3rd chapter, verse 9, we find the path that we should learn to take Whosoever is born of woman. We have learned from Job and from the Old Testament and from the teachings of Jesus, is necessarily a dying mortal. But here, John tells us, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. All of the words that have told us that if we're born of woman, we are subject to karmic law, were necessary to bring us to the point where we are willing to be born of God and not of woman. This is the difference between the first birth and the second birth. To be born of God is different than being born of woman. Every child born of woman dies. Every child born of God lives. To know God aright is life eternal. You're learning about the human womb, which is the womb of darkness, and the divine womb, which is the womb of light. We have a choice, to be born of woman or to be born of God. And our choice is made by the body in which we live. If you live in a temporary, finite body of flesh, the body born of woman, you are subject to unrighteousness, subject to sin, subject to karmic law, subject to opposites, and finally subject to death. If you live in the infinite body, you cannot sin. You cannot be unrighteous. You cannot die. Because the infinite body is the body referred to with the phrase, born of God. You find it again in the Epistle of Peter. In the very first chapter, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Being born of woman means of corruptible seed. And again, we find in 1 John 5, the fourth verse, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. First born of the flesh, and then born of God. And born of God is the renunciation of the body made of flesh. You cannot have the body of flesh and the body of God. Choose ye one or the other. The body of flesh is your finite sense image body. The body of God is your infinite spiritual body. You are faced with the need to live in one or the other. It should be clear that Scripture is asking you to live in the infinite body of spirit, which is being born of God. Now then, if you want the qualities of the Spirit to dwell in you, to activate your life, to take you through transition, it is necessary to make up your mind that you've got to live consciously in the infinite body. It makes no difference whether you are male or female in appearance, what religion you may have been born into, how old you are, what age or sex, whatever your human beliefs, if you will make the effort to live in the one infinite body, which is neither male nor female, Greek nor Jew, you will discover that you have found the secret of life, which truly is under divine law. Try now to make this one major correction in your understanding. The only begotten Son of God is the infinite body. Remember that. The infinite body is the only begotten Son of God. Not Jesus, but the infinite body. Jesus is the manifestation That is, when the infinite body is realized by Jesus, we see the infinite body of God appearing as Jesus. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Everyone coming into the world in a physical appearance is the infinite body appearing as. He came unto his own. His own received him not. You have not received your own infinite body. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. His name is the infinite body. They then are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When you accept your infinite body, you are lifted above the illusion of being born of woman. What? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? That was Paul's way of telling us that we are the only begotten, that we are the one infinite body. And then in 1 Corinthians 12:27, he said it flatly, one of the few times he ever just laid it right there for all eyes to see. Now ye are the body of Christ. Even then, you see, man could not understand, because it is inconceivable to the human brain that you can be an infinite body. But that is the truth of you. You see, God can only beget God. And God being infinite, all that infinity can beget is itself. Infinity is the only body that exists. Now ye are the body of Christ. And so we have been all these years misled into the belief that we had to find a God who would help us, that we had to find a God who would lead us to the kingdom of God. And all we have been doing is denying that we are now the only begotten of God. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Now that eternal life given to us by God is in your infinite body, because that is his Son. He that hath the Son, he that hath the infinite body, hath life. And he that hath not the Son, he that hath not the infinite body, hath not life. So let us stop waiting for Christ to come. Let us stop personalizing all human teachers. Let us realize that your infinite body is the only begotten of God here and now. Now please take a good long look at that famous statement by Jesus in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his infinite body, and that is the only begotten Son. God gave his infinite body, that whosoever believeth in him, in his infinite body, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For 2,000 years, we have taken Jesus to be the only begotten Son, instead of the infinite body of God to be the only begotten Son. But now, for this class, for those who have prepared themselves, for those who have the foundation, the understanding and the courage to live in the one body, the meaning of the only begotten Son will become a reality. You are the only begotten Son, and you are living in the infinite body of God. There is no other body. No piece of it is yours, for all of it is yours. And as soon as you will live in that seamless garment, that infinite body, you will discover the meaning of eternal life. Let us once more in silence accept, I am the infinite body of God. How we shall live in that infinite body will be the subject after we have had a brief intermission.